Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode, and as always, my name is Chris, and I'm going to talk to you about some games, so welcome back to Chris Talks Games. Fun little episode today, hopefully. There's a little bit of fun. We're going to start off, as always, with a little bit of news. Not much news this week, but here we go. Okay, first up in the news, as Nintendo did give their update for their last quarter and like sales and things like that. They are now just under 93 million Switch systems sold, so very much a very successful console. Sold about over 3 million consoles in the last quarter. So steady but down on last year, but I think obviously last year the Animal Crossing and the pandemic. Everyone's buying consoles to keep people occupied during the pandemic, and obviously Animal Crossing was just a sales beast last year, so that was pushing systems as well. They sold just under 93 million systems. They're 9 million off the lifetime total for the Wii, so very much looks like it will overtake the Wii as their most successful home console. And yeah, I'd be interested to see how long it takes them to do that, whether they can do that in the last part of this year with the OLED edition launch, which wasn't included in these numbers, and the obviously Christmas effect and holiday sales. In terms of games, Skyward Sword was the biggest seller of the quarter with 3.6 million copies sold in those 3 months since it launched. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is actually the second best-selling game of the quarter, which has sold 3.3 million copies in the last quarter. The quarter kind of goes June to September, so obviously they report at the end of October kind of to account for all the figures. Yes, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is just continuing to sell. It is the best-selling Switch title. It's up to like 38 million units, I believe. So yeah, it's just now the best-selling Mario Kart game ever, so yeah, it's insane about numbers for that. But the top 10 didn't change around too much. Ring Fit Adventure has actually hit 12 million units sold, though. For a game like that, it is really impressive figures. It is a lot of fun, it is quite a great game, and the Wing Kong is actually really kind of interesting peripheral, so definitely worth checking out. I think, obviously, pandemic last year really helped with Ring Fit Adventure, where people couldn't go to gyms and things like that. So yeah, that kind of wraps up my little overview of Nintendo's quarterly update. Moving on to the next bit of news. Coming into the last few months of the year, obviously got some big titles coming out from different companies, and two which are coming out in the next week or so have been getting absolutely insane reviews from across the board, really. First, I've got Forza Horizon 5, which is actually sitting at 91% on Metacritic. Microsoft's have had quite a start to their generation, but they're really starting to ramp up this second half of this year. Obviously, had Psychonauts in August, which has done really, really well. Now you've got Forza Horizon 5 coming along with 91% Metacritic score. Everyone seems to love it, says it's a real step up and kind of real next-gen kind of look to it. The other thing I wanted to mention was one which is a Switch exclusive. Been in development for pretty much 5 years, 5.5 years, or pretty much almost 6 years. That is Shin Megami Tensei 5. It's due out next Friday, and It's currently on 87% on Metacritic, so another strong title, strong scoring game. Yeah, it's good to see that a lot of the big franchises throughout this holiday are looking to be really good games. And also just exclusives, like the fact that Microsoft had Psychonauts 2 on 88% and Forza Horizon 5 on 91%, just shows that the quality of games that they can start putting out is going to be quite impressive. But yeah, so like I say, very short news section today, but that kind of wraps up by bits and news I want to talk about. So it looks like we're in for a good Christmas with some of the games that are coming out, and the scores they seem to be getting, showing that they seem to be good experiences. Even though they might not be everyone's kind of game, and they might not be the most successful games, but there's some quality stuff there if you want it. With that, we're going to head on to the main section of the show. Okay, so now on to the main section of the show, and I'm pleased to say I've got a guest with me this week, because the main show we are going to be talking about the new updates to Animal Crossing New Horizons, the 2.0 and Happy Home Paradise paid DLC. So I had a little bit of time to check into it, but I will be joined in with Game Junkie's co-host Matt Riddis.
Hello.
Yeah, so Matt's joining in just to give his thoughts on the update, because last year they were gracious enough to invite me onto the show for their review of Animal Crossing New Horizons when it first came out. So we'll return the favour with this big update that we've just had. So Matt, going to dive straight in. Like, before we start talking about the update, what's your experience of Animal Crossing been since it's come out, really?
Well, as I've said many times to people, to anyone who will listen, I was wrong about Animal Crossing when you came on Game Junkies and said it was one of the games looking forward to for 2020. Because I'd never played an Animal Crossing game before. Both you and Alex derided me for it. And I said, well, maybe I'll get it then. But of course, we recorded it, so we didn't know we were heading into a pandemic, of course. So, obviously, I got the game as a wacky pastime during lockdown, basically. And I think up until about the last 3-4 months or so, I was playing it quite religiously. This update is actually helping me get back into it again, so that's a good thing. I have a couple of concerns about certain things, mainly because, my God, it's involved. but it's amazing how you can spend so long tidying up your island and make everything look perfect, but you can't tidy your own room sometimes. It's amazing the meta involved in it, and the friendship you build. But Animal Crossing also helped a lot of people stay connected. I mean, you and me, for example, we were able to stay connected during lockdown. We were only like about 8-10 miles away max, but we were still had to be separated because of lockdowns and stuff. But so were all of our family and friends. This is a great way, unintentionally as it was, I'm sure, from Nintendo, to keep the world connected. And that's, in my opinion, part of the reason why it sold in such huge numbers.
Yeah, like I said, I really enjoyed Animal Crossing. Like, I have stayed pretty much checking in pretty much every day on my island. You know, I literally go in, check my postbox, have everyone around to make sure none of my villagers are leaving. That's literally what I do, but yes, I've been pretty good with checking my island, like, just a good little time sink, like, in 5-10 minutes here and there sometimes, or sometimes a couple of hours, but
You can unintentionally sink a lot of time in that game. I mean, I've not been as religious in recent times. I mean, I logged on when this update came out a couple of days ago, and it was, literally, I hadn't been on it for about a month.
Oh,
but it's okay. I went around and apologised to all the villagers, and I told them to get lost because Nibbles is finally fleeing her nest. So that's great. I've got a new one moving in called Hippo, HIPPEUX. Hippo, fantastic. Hippo, the hippo, and then they're a rock star apparently. So we'll see how that works out. Amazing the friendships you build in this game with
NPCs.
It's ridiculous. Particularly, she's like, no, you can't go. You're one of my OGs.
Yeah, I got our favourites. Like, my original two are still there. I've got D.Va and Tank.
Mm.
And I've got Skye, who I just refuse to leave. Whenever she thinks about leaving, it's like, no, you are staying.
Skye is one of the most popular ones in the entire game, without question. Cody was one of my OGs, and so was Renee. I won't let those two go. Hornsby moved in not long after the Hippo, and then Meringue, and they're secretly seeing each other, I swear. So I put their houses next to each other in our own little peninsula, and they are the best of friends. They argue back and forth, but they're best of friends.
They need to marry couple stage.
Absolutely. So I'm hoping they get a holiday home together at some stage.
That'll be fun. So obviously, Animal Crossing 2.0, the free update has arrived. As tons of stuff. So you've got Cap'n's Island, you've got the Roost, the cafe owned by Brewster, that can you open up in the museum. We've got the expansion to Harv's Island, you've got loads of new DIY, loads of new features like be able to accent walls, ceiling decorations, Joy Boys, which is a big thing people wanted to see come back. Vines you can add on to help climb up cliffs and stuff like that. So lots of stuff being added. So, Matt, from what you've experienced with it, is there anything that you've particularly fond of from the update?
Right. Put my spot here. I should have really thought about this ahead of time, shouldn't I, really? I've got to admit, something as simple as being able to actually do the dancing in the square.
Oh, yeah, the tape deck and the stretching.
The tape deck and the stretching. Being able to do that with the entire team. Not even that, Isabelle will come out and join you as well.
You can play along with it as well. If you've got your Joy-Con, yeah. You can actually do the movement.
Isabelle will come out and join you in the square. If you've got someone selling stuff in the square, they'll join in with you as well. It really is a feel-good moment.
I think Wilbur from the airport comes on, doesn't he?
Yes. Yes, the airport crew come and help. Yeah, both of them leave too. But makes you wonder if you have... Sahara... Or if you have, I'm trying to think of who it is, Gulliver, as well. If they turn up, they all join in. Be kind of fun if they did. It's such a wholesome moment, and the game will be full of wholesome things. It's always a good thing to see. For me, that stands out to me. The Roost is yet to open for me.
Yeah, mine's in construction at the moment. So
yeah, mine's opening this morning. So
same here. So
as a release. It'll still be this morning because we're recording this in the morning, so this is great. Brewster seems kind of quiet. Kind of like, I'm like, you don't say much, do you, Bird? Your coffee better be good. Because I love to drink coffee, so it's not a problem. As long as the coffee's good, that's fine. As long as I don't start charging X amount of money for it, it'd be great.
$200 a cup.
$200 a cup. Yeah, I'm a millionaire, it's fine.
The one thing they did in New Leaf on the 3DS, which I kind of hope they do bring across to the Switch one, but I haven't seen anything about it being able to do it, is in the 3DS one, you could actually work behind the counter. You could serve residents coffee, and you had to try, and they gave up a menu, and you had to pick up which coffee blend to suggest for each villager.
Well, that'd be kind of cool, given the amount of villagers that are in the game, and they've brought new ones in now as well.
Because they had a full list online of which coffee blend for which character to get the good reaction from them. I haven't seen anything about that being part of the Switch game, unfortunately, but it was kind of a fun thing to do.
Well, they could always bring it in the future, of course, couldn't they? They wouldn't throw you everything at the same go. Need to have something.
But they did say this is the last major update, so I don't know whether they would.
Doesn't mean there can't be a little bit of updating again. Yeah.
So that'd be one thing I wish I did do, but I haven't seen it so far. You've got the Animal Crossing Amiibo stuff. Obviously, you can invite people to the cafe. But again, it feels a bit awkward because you kind of have to buy the Amiibo cards to be able to invite people. Or have the character Amiibos to invite them.
This is the thing, of course, and I don't know if Isabelle would just come to the cafe.
She does. It's more if you want to sit and chat to him on the benches or the tables that you have to invite them.
I've heard the tables are reserved, so you can't go and sit at them.
Unless you had to do that. Unless you're going to use them if you've got the amiibo stuff.
That sounds about right.
Or if you've got friends visiting the island.
That could be kind of... That could be the thing. Because I like the idea in general. I mean, go for a cup of coffee with your mates at the cafe. I mean, sounds like a great idea. I know I want to do that if I was visiting somewhere. We go for coffee everywhere, don't we, really?
Yeah, but normally you get to drink coffee while you sit and watch your avatars drink it.
Yes, it's true. This is true. But this is virtual reality after all. So...
Yeah. I think for me, even though I've not had Great Island, I quite like the Cap'n's Island side of stuff.
It's a different way of doing the Nook Miles ticket. I like it though.
The fact you can find different stuff, like I managed to get vines and glowing moss from the second island.
I've got a few bits of glowing moss.
Yeah,
and I didn't have a lot because I didn't actually manage to. I didn't manage to empty my inventory before I went on it. I was too excited. So I've got like 5-6 bits. So I'm going to plant them on my own and see if it just glows at night now. That might be a good idea.
Yeah. Also, obviously, part of finding Brewster, you have to go, like, it's Peter Blathers in the museum and he'll ask you to look for him. And then you go to a cabin island and find him. So obviously you get Brewster through that. I did dig up a... Drumoid, gyroid thing, so I've not put that out yet, but I might just find a hole.
I don't know what a gyroid is. I know that the new thing you dig up. What are they?
I think traditionally animal crossing, they're kind of like decorative things where I can't make little noises and chirps and things like that.
Okay.
They have been shrunk down for this game, so it's smaller than they used to be. It used to be like fire hydrant style things.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different designs to try and get and different versions.
Well, I know that... because you get these little tooltips pop up now if you download the app.
Oh yeah,
It actually says that apparently about if you plant them and water them, they'll grow bigger.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the idea.
That's the shards as well. Like I think the shards actually create dry woods.
So that's something that maybe. Yeah. Okay, I'll check that one out then when it comes to it.
Yeah, the shards you have to bury, then you water them, and the next day they're natural dry woods.
Aha! There we go.
That's what I've done. I've planted one, so hopefully today I should have a dry wood to dig up.
It's. The freeze does really good, to be fair. They expanded the storage again, which is good. Obviously, the amount of people who are saying that they don't have storage. How? There's literally a Doctor Who TARDIS in my house.
You can fit 5,000 items now if you get all the updates.
It's fantastic. I'll just pay out 700,000 for a new bit of storage, right? Jesus Christ. But it's worth it. Because you end up, because of the some of the new stuff, there's more items, there's sort of catalogues. Nookazon, I believe it's been affectionately called on online. It's just really fun, as always.
Yeah.
They've also added 2 more inclines and 2 more bridges if you want them.
Yeah, so you can go up to 10 of each.
Yeah, rather than 8 total combined.
You've got the ladder set you can make, which is like a permanent ladder, mm-hmm. which you can just put on, because you don't have to keep on using the ladder to get up and down.
Yeah, I think I'm going to need, because I've got a hidey hole, and I like... having that one there for like a den house. Mm-hmm. I think I will do that one for sure. I've also been intrigued by the food.
Yeah, I've not managed to find any of the crops yet. I think they're kind of on Cap'n's Islands a bit. I don't know if there's anything in the Nook's cabinet that you can buy, like seeds or something. I haven't looked into that yet, but...
So I've got my pumpkin patch, because I've got my little bits of my island all scattered around everywhere. I've got my Christmas island, got my Christmas garden, got my Halloween tower, got my pumpkin patch. I've got all of these, I've got my Easter garden as well. I've got all these lovely little bits and pieces everywhere. I'm thinking like, well, now I can actually use some bits of it on a regular basis sort of thing. Just wondering if I can actually, because obviously I've built myself a restaurant on the island. I'm not sure if I can actually cook in that restaurant or if I actually...
I think if you've got the equipment you can use to cook, you can.
I've got all the equipment for it, yeah. So that will work quite well. Because if you're going to make a kitchen as a chef, you've got to have all the gear to go with it. And I had to do a bit of shopping around to get it and all, but I got it. Worth it as well. Worth it.
Yeah, there are plenty of new items being added. Yeah, we'll just see how the cooking works and how the kind of Farming Works.
There's some very simple, wholesome activities. And they're things you can probably do with your friends when they come across, sort of thing.
One thing I haven't experienced yet is like the playdates. Well, the technical like fan name for his playdates is basically where you talk to a villager and then they'll either invite you to their house, so you over a certain time you have to go to their house. And also they can turn up at your house now.
That's kind of fun.
So they can come in and say hi if you're in your house.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
A little bit more AI in the AI, as it were. Okay, that's cool.
What they did find actually really quite cool is the new camera app updates.
Yes.
With the handheld mode, it actually does first-person Animal Crossing.
And it does feel kind of... It does feel kind of nice. It's
kind of cute seeing your island from a kind of...
First-person perspective.
First-person perspective rather than an isometrical, slightly raised view.
Yeah, and it also means that you can actually then look out off the pier point from the airport to the south and you see what is over there. Because obviously everyone always wonders of what is beyond the horizon. But it's also nice seeing them actually posing for pictures and things.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And, you know, and they did do without being asked now, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah, so it's really cool. Loads of different stuff they've added in. And this is all the free stuff as well, so
we haven't even got to the paid stuff yet.
A massive free update.
Yeah.
Better things to have more time in.
More hairstyles. Yeah. More reactions. As you mentioned earlier, they've got the pro designer thing now as well, so you can do the walls exactly.
Yeah, like you can do an accent wall, so one, you know, wallpaper, all four walls the same. You've got the...
Which feels like something should have been in from the beginning, to be fair.
I think it's more getting more technical, so now people are kind of used to playing the game, they're kind of adding a bit more complicated stuff, but more kind of technical stuff.
So if you wanted, you could take the training wheels off, sort of thing. But it gives you the option. You haven't got to use that pack.
Because you've got the ceiling stuff, so you can add stuff to the ceiling. So like
that's
hang down cool. lights and like ceiling fans and hang shelves.
Good, because I want to put a chandelier in my bedroom.
I'd have to find DIY. I'll find one first, though.
I'll find one.
Yeah, no, there is a significant amount that's been added in. Lots of stuff to keep people busy, lots of things to find and discover. Lots more customization options. I know on Harv's Island, you've got an opportunity to set up a stall or a shop that will do customizations of items you can't normally customize, so... Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to get stuck into and get excited about, really, which is pretty awesome. So we're going to move on now to the paid DLC element, which is the Happy Home Paradise expansion. It is available as a single price update, so yeah, just like pay the one off for the pack, or if you got the Nintendo Switch Online and an expansion pack, it's actually included.
Which is what we did.
Yeah, we both got the online expansion pack, so we've got the N64 games, the Mega Drive or Genesis games, and...
It made sense.
Yeah, and now we've got the Happy Home Paradise stuff as well. It is kind of...
I just got this at the time. It seems like the sort of thing they could do more often with Nintendo-based DLC packs. Because it's a good hook from the buyer and more expensive membership.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they do add more DLC packs as it goes on to keep people subscribed.
I think that would be a no brainer. Deciding which one would be is another thing entirely. But
yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing for me to see because purely, fair enough, you've got the N64 and Genesis or Mega Drive games, but they're not. A lot of people say they're not necessarily worth the extra money that's being charged for them.
And that's why, when people are like, don't we? And then they said, okay, Animal Crossing stuff you can have for free as well if you have it. I'm like, okay!
Yeah.
Because that's 22 million users straight away right there.
Yeah, well, I think the first year is worth it because in the UK, the expansion pack is $22.49, I think.
Yes.
So it's £22.49. I think it's to about $25 in the States. So...
Well, it's $34.99, but you pay less if you
have... No, that's the online thing. I'm talking about the Happy Home itself.
Sorry.
Yeah, the Happy Home Paradise by itself is... $22.49 just for the back.
Yeah, that is right, yes.
So at least for the first year, it does make sense, because what, especially in the UK, what we're paying for the upgrade is less than the cost of the DLC.
It is, yeah.
It doesn't work like this in the States, though, because the States was $20 and it's gone up to $50.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still like $5 out. There's $5 more.
But it's still... You're still getting more.
Yeah.
So it still makes more sense that way.
That's why it doesn't make sense to me, because in the UK, the Nintendo Switch Online and Expansion Pass is £35.
Yeah.
And it was £17.99 for the basic year-round online pack. So for us, if you get the Happy Home to Paradise stuff, it is cheaper than paying for the DLC pack separately.
Yeah.
And but for the States, it works out they have to pay an extra $5 for the N64. And
it is
So the conversion there has not really worked in America's favour, but for the UK, it's worked out pretty well in terms of value.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, for me, I think it was a no-brainer, but when you move into year two, if it's still this extra amount of money and you don't get any extra DLC, it's kind of like, then you really are paying the extra for the N64 and Mega Drive titles.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that is, of course, that if you decide not to renew the expansion pack, then certain things do stay.
Yeah, everything you unlock does stay, but you won't be able to access the...
Archipelago,
yeah. You won't be able to go and do the actual stuff at the Paradise Resort. Many techniques for any items you've unlocked.
Yeah, you'll be able to...
You can carry on using.
Yeah. You can do the soundscapes, the lighting, the partition walls, the counters. If you want to go back to Archipelago, then you're going to have to reacquire it via one way or another again. Which is fair. Cause if you haven't paid outright for it and you're no longer accessing a server to give it to you, then you shouldn't be able to access it.
So they could have turned around and said, this is available to you now. They could have
That is sort of like you can have a bit, but you want all of it, you have to pay for it again.
Yeah, so I think that is kind of good Nintendo. So they could have said, nice. Yeah, you can't do any more of this.
They could have been dicks about it for sure. So, Happy Home Paradise, Chris. What have you done with it? I've done some, but not a great amount. But I do know bits about it. So what?
I've done two different vacation homes.
Okay, I've done two.
Yeah. I think we both ended up with Eloise the first one. The yellow elephant.
Eloise the elephant, yes. Toot toot!
Yeah, so... we both went for different second ones. You went for the hippo guy, didn't you?
I went for a hippo. Yes, I went for hippo.
I can't remember what I went for the second one.
I seem to have a lot of hippos.
Yeah.
I think you attract them for some reason. It's hippo than rhinos for me, yeah.
Yeah, I completely forgotten who the second villager I did a home for was, but... I had fun with it. I noticed with our second designs that we have different approaches.
I didn't... continue building the home. I just put the three boxes up and I thought what you've got to do for excellent.
You can't. I mean, you're supposed to make it an ideal vacation.
Oh, she was happy.
Yeah, so Matt, she opened up the three boxes, moved things around, and it's like job done. Whereas I...
She was happy.
Whereas I went for it. I did like decorations, like with Eloise, I put loads of books in there, like...
You made a fire hazard, Chris.
No, that was the...
It was all wood.
That was a different one. That was... the second house I did was someone who wanted a wooden... Or like a environment surrounded by trees. So I did like wood cabin walls, a stacked wood wall. To be fair, that's wallpaper rather than actual wood.
Fair.
Had like a wood burner stove in the corner.
some of the requests can be bizarre. Yeah. From what I've seen sometimes, you get people asking for a perfect coffee room, to a florist flower shop, a house of gizmos, and I'm not joking here, I don't know what this means, a toilet palace.
Imagine it means there'll be lots of toilets.
I never. I'm not building it. Screw that. Yeah. I quit.
That's why you choose not to go. Yeah, I quit. I think the cool thing is each time you do a different place, you do get more things unlocked to you. One thing that annoyed me a bit is I didn't realise in the second house you could have done the yard. I didn't do anything with the yard before I went in, so...
Yeah, I didn't realise that. I came out, walked outside, I'm like, why is she following me? You've took a picture, what are you following me for? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. No! Yeah. So I didn't... No, not in the yard!
Yeah, so I didn't do anything on the outside of the second house, but that has now unlocked from the first house, and... Like, you do unlock different things as you go along. The cool thing is, once you've unlocked everything, you can go back to the earlier house you've done, and then kind of... do more to expand them with the new items you got and the new techniques. So, one thing I did do is you can buy stuff because you got. Does it sound bad? You got like a second currency in Happy Home Paradise? Yes.
Pinko.
Pokey.
Pokey. Pokey. Yeah. Pokey.
So,
the Pokemon Company are watching you closely, Nintendo.
Do you know how it's spelling? It's P-O-K-I.
I know, but there'll be some people thinking, like, how close to the sun do you want to go here?
Well, to be fair, it probably pronounced Pocky, so it probably got the wrong pronunciation as well, but...
It's our English pronunciation, yes.
When you do houses, you do Pocky, and then you got, like, rarer items you can buy from the shop there.
And chocolate.
Yeah, you can buy chocolate, and you can give it to your villagers back on your home island. So I actually took some and gave some to Skye at my island. And then after that, she actually said, okay, visit. So I actually took her to the archipelago. So she had to be one around
the island. But you haven't yet built her a home?
No, I think you have to get to visit a few times before they ask you to
do
one.
The chocolate starts about up. 3 pieces is 3,000. That's half a day's work.
I bought three for 2,000.
Was it
3 for 2,000? Yeah.
I bought for
3 for 2,000. These are 600 each, or 3 for 2,000.
Maths, they're in my strong point, we know.
Yeah, because I remember I earned 6,000 for the first house I did.
Yeah, you get 6,000 per house. Yeah.
Then I bought the chocolate, but then I wanted to get like the 2 sun lounges of the parasol, and I didn't have enough pocky because it was 4,100.
Yeah,
yeah. And I was 100 pocky short. You're like,
damn it.
I was like, shouldn't have bought the chocolate.
And you can't exchange bells for pocky either.
No.
Because,
the good thing is, there's no microtransactions or anything. It's not as if you can buy Pocky to top up your account.
It's the same with bells in the game, but yeah. You can't buy bells in the game, which is good. But it's surprisingly easy to manipulate the turnip exchange sometimes to actually get the bells. But you can't with Pocky at the moment.
You can also convert Nook Miles into bells.
Yes.
So you can get the bell vouchers.
This is true, but you can't do that with Pocky at the moment, for sure. I mean, they may update that in the future, of course, but at the moment, it seems like it's nice. It's got its own currency system.
Yeah.
One thing that I'm quite pleased about is it wasn't spun off into its own game. Because from what I remember, there was a spin-off version from New Leaf.
Yeah, it's Happy Home Designer. It was on the 3DS. It was a game on the 3DS.
And it sold less than 1 million copies in its lifetime.
To be fair, it did come out quite towards the end of the 3DS life cycle, so it wasn't when the 3DS was at its strongest. A lot of people were moving on to other consoles then.
Would people be buying... I mean, people have been excited about this new paid DLC, which, by the way, they have announced is going to be the only paid DLC for the game, which is good.
Yeah.
Which is good. They've said there'll be more free updates, and that's good. Put it on the scale this one, last one was, obviously, but...
Yeah, they did announce that the 2.0 was the last major update.
But there'll still be updates, of course, and that's...
So I think it's just like little patches and fixes and kind of...
I rarely get any problems with the game, to be fair. It's almost perfect as it was. I think that by integrating it into the game rather than having its own spin-off, as it were, means more people will play it. And let's face it, it's half the fun of Animal Crossing New Horizons is building your own home. You get to then build other people's homes, and you get to do it for free as well. Because you throw everything you want into it without your own budget.
I don't know, I even forgot to mention is the fact you can redesign your home in the 2.0 update. You've got the different designs of house you can have.
Yep.
That's how the cost of relocation's gone down as well.
Yep. All of these bits and pieces that you learn when you're over there, you can bring back to your island, of course. Which is really cool. Which is really, really, really cool. Yeah. I did see someone on Twitter complain that they didn't introduce boats that you can drive yourself. I'm like, well, why would you? That's like giving the child the keys to a car. It's a nightmare waiting to happen. Okay, you can swim in the sea. What more do you want?
Yeah, I think the thing of Animal Crossing New Horizons, it's kind of like it's in depth, but it's quite simple. So I think if you add your own kind of transportation, it's just kind of people can lose interest. I think it's just like you go point to point, objective to objective, like.
When you
do you want to do kind of thing?
Because obviously, when you want to go to like a Pelago, you fly from the airport. Obviously. Yeah. One thing I don't know if you noticed this or not, but when the DAL screen, it's got a different down the side when you're going to the island.
Different screen for the flights. They're very non-environmentally friendly, I must admit.
That's true.
Especially when you first meet Lottie and she heads off, said, "Oh, there's a big plane ready for you. Why not just wait and get the same plane?" That's two separate planes. That's not very environmentally friendly, Nintendo.
This is also virtual reality. Give it a break here. little kids aren't going to be as focused about it, but let's face it.
Yeah, but when you got Greenpeace angry with Nintendo because of the plastics and that they use and all sorts in the first place, it's just like red flag triple. Like, we're going to do two plane flights.
I wonder if people would have... I keep going back to this in my head. Why, if people would be as into this DLC if it was its own game. I'm struggling to think that people would specifically buy a spin-off.
But to be fair, I've watched quite a few people's reactions to the Nintendo Animal Crossing Direct, they announced all this stuff, and so many people were on board and excited for it.
Yeah, but like, because they knew it was part of the actual main
game. No, that was before they made the announcement.
Oh, was it? Okay.
This is when they were showing off the game. Oh, yeah, this is like, whatever it costs is going to be worth it. Like, it's a whole new game. It's going to be really amazing. And then, a lot of people saw the price. Oh, yeah, that's fair. There's loads of new content, loads of stuff you can do. And then they made the Nintendo Switch Online announcement. Like, it was like, oh wow, that's quite really cool.
It made it sound better and better rate for money for sure.
Yeah.
As we've already discussed, of course. Is there anything you think I missed a trick on with this? Is there something that you're hoping they would bring in and they still haven't? Because you've played the earlier games, I haven't.
I think I would like to if they had. Perhaps the there's not something I don't even do for death or not because I haven't seen it. I'm assuming we can't do it. Is like working behind the bar at the Roost, because I think it wasn't amazing, but it was a bit of fun. I think you used to get some bells for it. As a way to earn some bells.
From what I've seen, there is enough room in there for KK to do a set. So why is he not? Because, I mean, I know he does his set in the square, but come on, it's winter now. That dog needs to get back in the warm.
Yeah. I think New Leaf, you had the club that KK ran, so you did a club, and he was like a DJ for some of it, so I kind of missed that a bit. And I think it was... Yeah, that's the main things for me, really. Like, things I was missing.
They've hit most of the right buttons, haven't they, Andrew, for you?
Yeah, a lot of stuff. One thing that... thing could have been done a bit better is, like, with the cabin tours on New Leaf, they took you to what was called Tortoise Island, and you had, like, little challenges you could sign up to, so you had to do certain challenges, like, you work your way through a maze in a time limit, or...
Yeah.
Try and find as many fossils as you can in a time limit. So I kind of think they would have been good to bring back, like, those little mini-games, kind of just a bit more excitement.
Yeah.
I know Tortimer is back as part of the Harv expansion. I don't know what he offers, but he is one of the stands he gets up.
I haven't got to check that out yet.
Yeah, I've not done much on Harv's Island. I literally went there, and obviously it's kind of die always, and you have to pay money to kind of, or pay bells to...
Yeah, it didn't. It wasn't the hit they think it to be, was it?
To be fair, it's only been 3 days.
The original Harv's Island, I don't know of anybody who's been there more than once.
I went there a couple of times during the wedding season to try and get some of the wedding rewards. Mm. But I didn't bother this year. Like last year, I went there during the.
So hopefully this redevelopment sort of thing will get more people going there.
Yeah.
That's we want that, don't we?
That's the core thing, because if you want to go and look at art, you know that Red's going to be there.
He's going to be there.
He's one of the ones you can set up as a store, so...
Thank God for that, because I keep getting from a fake when you turn up on that boat.
You probably still get fakes there anyway, but it's just...
Yeah, but at least you've turned up.
Yeah, because you could be really sporadic. I went like 2 months without seeing Red.
Yeah.
And I was checking in every day, so like...
I mean, you saw him a few times. I mean, you've seen me playing, because I usually play on my big screen, don't I?
Yeah.
I'll be running along, and there's like a path that goes right past the little alcove where he docks. He docks on my little beach I've got at the back, and it's a beautiful little thing. He parks this bloody great cold...
I think he parks everyone's beach.
Yeah, he parks this beautiful thing with him just pumping coal dust into the sky. I mean, this is a romantic beach, you idiot fox!
To be fair, probably will turn up. But I think they will just come to your island every now and again, but there will be always on Harv Island.
I used to run past it every now and again, and when we turn up, I would stop, and I would actually just emote. I don't think like emoting is how I would in the game. I'd stop.
I'll react.
React, and then run on sort of thing. Like, you actually turn up. I'm looking at you in my belt, you cheeky fox. But if you've got your own shop, yes. Might give you another chance sort of thing.
So yeah, like, there's plenty of stuff to get stuck into and explore and look into, so that's all good.
Harv's Island is definitely going to be something to recheck out for sure. I had one little problem, is that when you ended up in the archipelago, but obviously the main office building, which you can get your own uniform, you can design it yourself beforehand, which is kind of fun, and you can change it as you go along. My only... The only sad thing is that all the other little buildings you can't go into. They've got doors, but it doesn't even say
locked. No, you can, as you unlock stuff, you can actually redevelop them.
Ah.
So you're like a school, you got a library, you got a restaurant, stuff like that, you can...
Right! There's me trying to get into it, I can't.
I think that's something that unlocks as you play through. As you do more houses, you'll be able to open them up and do stuff.
I'm going to employ someone to do it for me, aren't I? I'm too busy with my own job. Okay, I'll send Cody to do it for me.
That's why a lot of people are saying it's such a big
update,
expansion and big game, because there's so many parts to it, and it actually unlocks stuff as you go along.
Right. I think I'll send Lucha, Cody, and Renee to go set that up for me.
I don't think even much has been done.
Well, they barely walk my plants, let alone anything else on my island.
That's a good thing about the free update as well as ordinances. So if you're someone who always works early mornings, you don't get to play the game early morning, you can then do what's called the night owl ordinance, which basically... Everything. Things happen later, so people get up later.
Yeah.
The stores open later.
Which is fun, obviously, because it's really good for you. It makes it easier for you.
Yeah.
Not everybody does time travelling. And if you want to time travel on this game, obviously you can, and all power to you if you want to do that. You're the one who's got to deal with the cockroach and the weeds, after all. I might have time out a few times to get someone who is going to remain nameless a good price on his turnips. But at the same time... you have never time travelled, have you?
No.
And you're quite proud of that fact.
Yeah, I like to do things naturally on Animal Crossing. I want to just kind of go through stage by stage and kind of to see what happens. And
But at the same time, you're more than happy for other people to time travel where you get to return it, right?
You did offer.
Twice. Twice. And both times you accepted it quite happily. I got in my TARDIS and got going.
Just because you got to Saturday afternoon and I was got rubbish turnip prices all day. It was just like...
It took me 3 hours to find it. To find a good price. Jumping up and down the timeline. That was
the thing is, you did find one, then you lost it.
I found one, but at the same time, it was like, is it good enough sort of thing? I thought I could find a better one. Eventually I did, but it was a nightmare. And the queues that some of the... When you go online, the turnip exchange is ridiculous. The queues are ridiculous.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, the whole... Honestly, I don't really do turnips now. I think if I end up having to spend quite a few bells doing expansions and moving things around and stuff like that, I'll probably want to look into doing more bell stuff or turnip stuff, but...
The thing is that some people do, like, say, like, no charge, I mean, just, like, come in, get you need, leave by airport, fine, cool. Some people demand, like, gold nuggets, and some people demand, like, swap this for this, and then you can go to a shop. The offensive thing is, you can't go to other parts of people's islands.
That's fair enough, though.
Yeah, I know, but that means you can't go to, you also can't go to their clothes shop. And sometimes they've got clothes different, haven't they?
Yeah, but you got to think about it. Some people use it as kind of like a... I don't know if farming's the right word, but it's like, especially those people who get items.
A mining thing, basically.
They'll get it to get loads of a certain item, and if you can only have a certain amount of people on your island,
yeah,
they want to try and keep that rolling.
That's true, I suppose.
Get as many people through as they can.
I guess that's true. But yeah, I think that this update, because it's going to launch Animal Crossing even further in the stratosphere.
Yeah, I think it has had a lot of content. I know a lot of people were saying there wasn't much to do with Animal Crossing once you've done all your expansions and your
pottering around and getting things done. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, but I think a lot of people were thinking, is there anything else we can do? And it did start to lose a bit of appeal for some people. So I think adding all this stuff in will add an additional layer of stuff.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty cool. Yeah, so, overall thoughts, Matt. Do you think that the 2.0 update and the Happy Home Paradise were worth their development? Is it something that you think's added a lot of value to the game?
The game had great value to begin with.
In terms of adding stuff onto the game.
20 million plus people bought the original game. One of the best selling games of all time in terms of the time period. Without question. They couldn't keep up with demand at one point, it looked like. If it hadn't been for digital sales, they may well not have been able to keep up with demand, I feel, during the pandemic. This has extended the life of the game, without question or shadow of a doubt. There is certainly a few more things that could be added to this, such as, you know, the idea of going behind the bar and serving your coffee to other people. Yeah, I think that sort of thing I imagine will come down the line.
I forgot, I didn't ask you that question. Is there anything you think they should have added for you?
They've already added the cooking side of things.
Yeah.
So I've got to figure out how to do it. So I'm very excited about that. We discussed this on Game Junkies a few weeks ago, actually, in the news section, because Kerry, it dropped, literally, the direct happened the day we were recording, and Alex hadn't seen it, so me and Kerry were cluing him in on it, and it's so much fun. You know, this already has my attention. The fact that it got me animated about the thing, like, are you kidding me? Prices? What the hell is this? It's the sort of thing that I've if it triggers that reaction with me, it's usually a good thing. The little tips at the bottom are fun, but I also half feel it should have been there from the beginning. But it's a nice welcome addition, for sure. It's just more of the same, and it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, because this game is a very good de-stressor, I found, this over the last year and a half. You very rarely see a game get this sort of reaction from people where it's been used as a mental health tool.
I know you said to me before, you think it saved your mental health. It gave you something to do.
I genuinely 100% believe this. Animal Crossing New Horizons saved lives during the pandemic. Because people's mental health was tethered to its limits at times. And to this day. I genuinely think that if you want a nice zen moment with... Especially with some people who find it very hard to make friends sometimes, this could be a very good good tool for helping you build relationships, teaching people relationships. Very good for youngsters to learn that sort of thing. Just as good for the adults who need the help as well.
So, this is how I got to know Kate then better, through that first review of Animal Crossing and kind of...
The bonding experience, yeah. Because you've done that sort of thing. Absolutely. And I still haven't visited their island. They still won't let me on their island. I've known Caitlin now for 2 years and they've not let me on their island. That is what it is. But yeah, Animal Crossing brought people together. Yeah. And for me, this update only made it better. For me, putting the thing behind the bar will be a bonus thing. Apart from that, I'm pretty happy.
That's cool. Awesome, so... That kind of wraps up our little discussion on the Animal Crossing updates. Well, our thoughts of it so far. Okay, bear enough, we are literally like 2 days into it. We've not had an immense amount of time with it.
We will. I dare say that we'll be revisiting that online. Yes. And obviously, I believe you've got some footage on your channel of the first playthrough as well.
Yes, I did record my first bit of gameplay of the Happy Home Paradise DLC. So you get to see my first vacation home that I designed. I think I did pretty well, like they seem to love it. You can't tell whether the bits you put in are good or bad based on their reactions. Sometimes I get little hearts, sometimes I get little crapping bits, sometimes I get little exclamation marks, so kind of like, so you kind of judge what's good and bad from all that kind of stuff. But yeah, kind of that wraps us up for our main subject. But Matt, what have you been playing apart from Animal Crossing New Horizons the last couple of days?
Right.
We got to go like the month because you've not done Game Junkies last week either, did you?
We unfortunately we didn't. No, we had a few issues, but we'll be back this week. So that's all good. This past couple weeks, been playing a lot of F1. The F1 2021 game is amazing. I've been saying this for a while. The free DLC updates for it continue to get better and better, which is unlike EA and Codemasters to give you free stuff. But yeah, they gave us the Portimao circuit in September, the Imola circuit in October, and this month, November, they're giving us the Jeddah Saudi Arabia circuit, which obviously is brand new and is going to be actually raced at this month as well. So we actually get to race on that circuit in the game before they do in real life. That's kind of a cool thing. Even though that thoughts of what's upset if it should be going to Saudi Arabia, that's another story entirely, of course. So what else have I been playing? Been playing a lot of Football Manager, because 21 version of the Game Pass and it's free, and this coming Tuesday the 22 version goes, Football Manager 22, available on PC, Mac, iOS, and it's coming to the Game Pass as well for free, all at the same time. First time it's gone to Xbox at the same time as it's gone to other devices. So that's a really big get for Microsoft, I think.
That's cool.
And what else? I've also been playing a bit of a Doctor Who game as well.
Age of Reality. Do you realize you had that, actually?
Yeah, I can't recall that from you, yeah, because I wanted to tell it on your show at some point. It's very... you can tell that it's not a big studio that's made this. However...
Rough around the edges.
Yes. But at the same time, it's kind of nice. It still feels good. Controls are a little clunky at times. A little bit fiddly, as it were. But at the same time, you get to wield a sonic screwdriver, you get to operate a TARDIS, you get to encounter enemies. I'm not going to say everything, but these are in the trailers, after all. I did go face-to-face with a Dalek at one point.
Nice.
Terrifying. And some ingenious puzzle dynamics as well. In fact, if one wanted to be sarcastic a little bit, you could argue this is a walking simulator, if you wanted to be a cynic. However...
The Death Stranding...
Not exactly, because there's a lot of a puzzle on the way to open the way forward, sort of thing. So it's a bit more involved than Death Stranding. And, you know, it's got the official voice cast as well, from Doctor Who, so... It, nothing else. Big tick there.
Cool.
Would very much like to play some more of it. Hope that you'll like it at some point as well, because I know you're a Doctor Who fan like me.
Yeah, I'd like to get stuck into that.
And good thing as well is, if you buy it on the Xbox, which I did, it's only £20. So it's not AAA price.
Yeah.
So I wasn't betting AAA rate quality. So that's fine.
Fair enough. Cool.
How about you, Chris?
So for me, I've been getting stuck into a few different games. Mainly Animal Crossing New Horizons. Got stuck in Smash Bros. Again the other night. Bit of Supermonkey Ball Banana Mania.
I don't get that.
Supermonkey Ball.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. It's like someone on an acid trip, that game, I swear. But you like it, so that's fine.
Yeah, it's just fun and just like trying to solve all the levels and not fall off and throw a controller against the wall. But... It's got that just traditional one more go mechanic where you're just like, oh, I'll give it one more go. I'll die. Give it one more go. There's very much one more go aesthetic to it. Did play the demo of the Kingdom Hearts Melody game. The demo of that's available on the eShop. The Nintendo eShop, so I gave that a go. Actually quite enjoyed it. Also, I've played the demo of Metroid Dread. Got gameplay footage of that up on my channel. Also pretty cool. And I did get stuck into some of the N64 and Genesis games, or Mega Drive games as well. So yeah, a few bits around that. Hopefully next week I get more stuck into stuff like Forza Horizon 5, which is hitting Game Pass on Tuesday. And then, not too distant future, we do have Diamond and Pearl remakes hitting.
We do.
Yeah. So that's something to look forward to in November. But yeah, that kind of wraps up what I've been playing. So Matt, do you want to share what's going on with your guys' show next week?
Everything going according to plan, and when is anything going to plan with Matt Tech Productions?
It didn't go to plan last week.
Exactly.
Last time, unfortunately.
Exactly, but this week, next week coming up, hopefully, we are going to be having our music challenge, where we have five categories of video games, and me, Kerry, and Alex will be picking one for each section, and then Chris will be ranking them, scoring them, and we're going to explain why we picked them. And at the end of it all, we're going to have one person who is the winner.
Yeah, so basically, premise is I've set them five different subjects or five different categories, and they had to choose their favourite piece of music that fit that category. And then they basically had to play them for me, and I had to decide out of the three of them which I thought was the best piece of music in that category. So I won't have any idea whose music is whose.
You might have an idea of whose is whose, to be fair. You might have an idea. Given I am 10 years older than Kerry. there is a little generation gap here. If you start getting like music from a Mega Drive here, you might have an idea.
But retro is still retro, so...
Is this true?
They might have played Mega Drive games and fall in love with other music, so...
Is this true?
Yeah, so retro is one of the categories, like N64 and earlier kind of thing, so...
Which, of course, was a bonus of having the new packs for the... Yeah. For the Nintendo, of course, means you can hear a lot more of it now.
Yeah, I was surprised I had to make an alteration to all my categories, though. It was a bit concerning for a game podcast group.
To be fair, basically for the kind of game of the year.
Basically, I chose one of my categories was best bit of game music from this year. It turns out Alex and Kerry haven't played a game from this year.
I've only played two, to be fair. Because the pickings
haven't... Well, Doctor Who and what else?
Huh? One?
You include Doctor Who in that?
No, not Doctor Who in that.
That's another game you played this year.
Yeah, but the fact matter is that there have been slim pickings of games that we've wanted to play for that have come out this year. Not everything. There have been games that come out this year, but not everything has appealed to everybody. I mean, let's face it. Kerry likes playing Harvest Moon. I could think of nothing worse, personally. So, everyone's got different opinions. I'm pretty sure there's some people who think Animal Crossing is the most biggest waste of time.
And very much a lot of people are saying Animal Crossing's kind of the same, almost same genre as Harvest Moon. So, Harvest Moon is a bit more in-depth.
Mm.
But, so yeah, I had to change that category to the last 2 years.
But that...
Which did kind of take me by surprise a little bit.
But that expands the horizon a bit.
Yeah.
Literally. And so that hopefully that will be... That could make things a bit more interesting, though. It could make things a lot bigger scope and make your job a little bit more tricky. And I like that.
Well, it depends on what music you play me, really.
This is it. But that's next week.
Yes, so that is something to look forward to next week, as long as all the recording plans go to plan this time.
I will as well take this opportunity, if you don't mind, Chris, to thank everybody for his support with for Chris's one-shot, The Chosen, in Paris. On the on Dungeon Junkies, you did a great job, Chris, and thank you everybody for showing the support for his one shot.
Yeah, if you aren't aware, Matt and the Game Junkies guys are part of what they call Dungeons and Junkies, which is like a Dungeons and Dragons or D&D group. So they do different campaigns, and I have been doing a couple of one shots. So it's kind of like a standalone episode. So my second one did come out recently, so yeah, please check out where would people find Dungeon Junkies.
You can find them, if you want to find them on Twitter, you can find at Dungeon Junkies, same for the Instagram. But if you want to find it, you can find it on Visual Media in general. We can find all the content, including what you listen to right now. You can usually find it every Friday and Monday.
Yeah, but that's the Dungeons and Junkies of Friday and Monday. Yeah. Yes, cool. Yeah, so that's where you can check out lots of D&D content. Like, some really wild and wacky stuff happens.
You are not kidding. You're not kidding. There's a little spoiler coming up. We've got Les Mis coming up soon.
Oh, God. You done your research for that yet?
Shut up.
Yeah, so that is a lot of fun. If you want to hear about people electrocuting pools of water and all that kind of stuff.
That's brilliant. Some things just can't be predicted and how they'll go. So
yeah, so there's plenty of interesting stuff coming up. So make sure you listen up to Dungeons and Junkies. I have got a couple more one shots planned that I am working on at the moment. So.
We are terrified, but looking forward to it. Yeah. Literally, as soon as you finish the last one, I was going to win the next one. That's how much people. That's how much people like it, and the numbers don't lie. Yes.
Yeah. So where can people find yourself, Matt, and what kind of stuff are you after?
If you want to find me, they can find me at the Matt Attack UK. You can find me, as I've said already, you can find me on Game Junkies, the Game Junkies Pod. You can find me on Good Cop Bad Cop at Good Bad Wrestle. Or you can find me most places on VGM at Visible Media. You can also find me every so often over on Radio Techers. I'm part of a trio that launched their own network there. If I'm at Radio Checkers, you can listen to us doing watch logs or on the Volley at the Volley Live every Monday. That is Chris's doing. So thank you very much for that, Chris.
It is a heads up. Checkers is very much football focused and sport focused, so
it's a bit of a
step away from gaming.
But we do have some gaming chat in the chat every now and again, so it's all good.
Yeah. Cool, so that just leaves me. So obviously, you can find me on Twitter at ChrisLewis37. My YouTube channel, Chris Reactor. I do post all my YouTube videos onto my Twitter, so if you find my Twitter, easy way to find my YouTube. So, yeah, I'm going to wrap this up for today, and thank you for listening if you still are. And until next time, stay safe and speak to you soon. Bye.
podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.